On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Gracious sakes, I think we've got enough Morans tonight for a week of Moran Monday. Apparently the new year just brings them out from behind the baseboards, scurrying around like the little human right-wing cockroaches that they are. It's actually kind of hard to figure out where to start. You've been sending in nominees. I've been seeing nominees just happen al fresco, as it were. And it's... Wow. Bless his little repig-licking heart. Lindsey Graham Crackle, is finally out of the closet. Yes, it's true. Lindsey Graham Cracker is out of the closet. He made a big announcement on the Press the Meat, Meet the Prestitutes. Meet the Prestitutes. He was talking with David Dances with Rogues Gregory. And he said, never mind. No, no. Hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Slow down, Bob. See, I've been excited about this. This feels like Thursday or something. But it really is Monday. I know. But I've been so anxious to get Moran Monday started because, I was not on the air Friday because the network was all the way down for intrusive testing. And I checked with the network, and it's having a hard time sitting down right now. But it's okay. We still have problems, and they're still working on it, but we got a show, so that's a good thing. But more than anything else, of course, it's worth noting that, yes, indeed, it is Monday. It is the first Moran Monday of the new year, 2011. Happy New Year to all of you. Well, a happy sort of screwed up by the early, ignorant, semi-literate, mostly barbaric Christians New Year, but a happy New Year just the same. Wouldn't it be much nicer if this was March? Yeah, me too. But it's Moran Monday on the horn. Step right up. Step right up. Hurry right up. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Get out of my way, kid. You bother me. Come on right over here. Look right behind here. Right behind this thin cybernetic veil of cybernetic curtain cloth, striped though it may be. You will step in and you will see, you will hear, you will experience Morans, the likes of which you have not lately seen, at least since last Monday. For it is Moran Monday on the horn. The spotlight is out and we are shining it on the scurrying little right-wing repig-licking filthy teabagging birther deather booger-eating Morans as they run hither, thither, and yon. Hurry, 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 or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. No, I just had to start with Lindsey Graham Cracker, because Lindsey did. He came out Sunday. We finally found out who it is that really gets Lindsey going. Talking to Herr Gregory at Press the Meat, he said the following.
Vote on the debt ceiling. Will you vote to raise it, which is a vote that'll come up in relatively short order?
Right. Well, to not raise the debt ceiling could be a default of the United States on bond and treasury obligations. That would be very bad for the position of the United States in the world at large. But this is an opportunity to make sure the government is changing its spending ways. I will not vote for the debt ceiling increase until I see a plan in place that will deal with our long-term debt obligations, starting with Social Security.
See, Lindsey Graham, cracker, is a fiscal conservative. He's all worried about the money. Oh, goodness gracious, he's so worried. He just doesn't know quite what to do with himself. He's so all worried up. But the fact of the matter is, Lindsey Graham cracker has said, yes, really, not kidding. He said he wants an enduring relationship with Afghanistan. It's taken a long time for Lindsey to come out of the closet, but he did. He wants an enduring relationship with Afghanistan. I don't know if this is going to involve flowers or opium, the chloral hydrate. Has Michael Finn been by? Nobody can be. You don't know. But we do know that Lindsey Graham cracker is out. Lindsey wants an enduring relationship. Oh, jeebus, with Afghanistan. And he doesn't care what it costs. Now, when it comes to your Social Security, my Social Security, our Social Security, the social safety net that may at least hopefully keep us from dining on cat food in our golden years, well, Lindsey doesn't care so much about that.
A real bipartisan effort to make sure that Social Security stays solvent, adjusting the age, looking at means test for benefits on the spending side.
But see, that's the problem, making sure it stays solvent by adjusting the age. Well, you know what? If you got to live to be 80 or 70 or 75 or wherever it is Lindsey Graham cracker wants to finally make the wheel stop spinning, then you haven't saved Social Security, because that means it's just not available. Now, here's a little trivia moment, and I'm not being snarky, and I'm not being mean. I went and I checked out the biography of Lindsey Graham cracker. And it must have been sad. It must have been sad. It was in the late 70s. Lindsey was, I think, going to the University of South Carolina. He was already in ROTC. He was the first member of his family to go to college. His mama and daddy had helped put him through college by running a liquor store in, Center, South Carolina, I think was the name of the town. But when he was 21 years old, Lindsey's mama dropped dead. And within a year or so, or just a few more months than a year, Lindsey's daddy dropped dead too. He was orphaned, literally, in his early 20s. He wound up actually adopting his sister, and let's not have any cheesy jokes here, so that he could continue to care for her while he was in school. What a horrible, horrible thing. What a horrible tragedy to be faced with in your early 20s. But the fact remains, Lindsey's parents didn't live to collect Social Security. And I don't think it is at all unfair or cruel or mean, and I certainly do not intend it in that fashion. I intend to be mean when I call him Lindsey Graham cracker and talk about him coming out of the closet because he wants an enduring relationship with Afghanistan. That's mean. But I wouldn't be mean to him over losing his mama and his daddy. Especially because it appears that it's going to have real-world implications for you and me. Lindsey never got to see his hard-working mama and daddy collect Social Security. And as a consequence, he did not see them live to their old age and be buoyed and saved by Social Security, as Social Security has saved literally generations of elderly Americans from the horrors of old age poverty that plagued, like grim death swinging a scythe across this nation, plagued our elders. He didn't get to see that. So Social Security doesn't have real-world meaning for Lindsey Graham like it has for you who saw your parents collect Social Security, or maybe old enough to collect it now. Or I, who most assuredly watched my parents collect Social Security, even though they were both members of the so-called donut hole, and did not get everything that they were entitled to because of the legislative screwing that they got decades back. But Lindsey wants, what's Lindsey want? Lindsey wants to raise the retirement age. Lindsey wants to apply means testing to Social Security. And that's really the most nefarious part of it. Well, look here. I'm plenty rich. There's lots of us rich Republicans. And we don't need no Social Security because, well, we was born on third and we're thinking we hit a triple. Oh, my gracious. We're rich enough we don't need it. Let's just make sure Social Security is only available to a certain class of people making a certain, under a certain amount of money. And presto changeo, before your very eyes, Social Security will transform itself from a program that affects and is available to all Americans into what? Into what? That's right. Into a welfare program. A welfare program. And you know what? Once it's a welfare program, repiglickens all over this country need no longer fear the third rail, if fear it they do. They can merely get up on the hustings and climb up on their sanctimonious soapboxes and talk about how them welfare people is draining us dry, is bleeding us white. Right? You know this. You know this to be a fact. We're not talking about relativities like truthity or truthiness or... No. We're talking about facts. From Ronald Reagan and his welfare queen to the present day and the baggers and the birthers and the deathers and the tenthers and the fourteenthers... Yeah. Because you see, once you turn it into a welfare program, Social Security becomes something that is worthy of being drowned in the bathtub like a firefighter's pension. Or like, I don't know. Like unemployment compensation. Which isn't a welfare program either, but they've managed to convince the nation that it is. Or Medicaid, which has been subjected to privatization. Because, you see, the fact of the matter is, well, Social Security delayed is Social Security denied. Just as justice delayed is justice denied. Yeah, you know where that comes from. But let's just finish up. Let's finish up with, bless his heart, Lindsey.
I'm going to vote for a debt ceiling increase unless we go back to 2008 spending levels, cutting discretionary spending.
All right, but let me stop you for a second, Senator. That's a big condition, yeah. Just on Social Security alone.
Yeah.
You think Republicans
it
are
is.
Prepared to follow you in two things you said, raise the retirement age and means test benefits for older Americans?
I would suggest that if we're serious about taking America in a new direction and you're not putting entitlement reform on the table, you've missed a great opportunity to change the course of America's future. And the last election was about change, change that really will make us something other than Greece. I think Pat Toomey...
Dear God, make us something other than Greece.
Rand Paul and other candidates who are new to the Congress have said during the campaign, everything's on the table when it comes to making America fiscally sound. Let's see if we can find bipartisan reforms in Social Security before we raise the debt limit.
But do you think Senator McConnell, the leader of the Republicans, is going to go along with that?
I hope so. I know that Speaker Boehner is going to produce spending limitation bills every day. But the question for the Republican Party, for the Tea Party, for the Democratic Party, beyond discretionary spending, are we willing to look at...
Notice how he just slides by that real quick, like the Republican Party, the Tea Party, the Democratic Party, as if the Tea Party was something separate and apart from the Republican Party. It isn't. It's their base. It's their knuckle-walking, freak, insane base. And don't count on, you know, don't blame me for calling them insane. Those are the words of George, my bow tie is too tight around my throat, Will, on the debt ceiling. But you see, the debt ceiling's not the ceiling we should be worrying about. Oh, I mean, yeah, it'll have to be raised. But the fact of the matter is, the ceiling we need to be talking about raising is the ceiling on contributions to Social Security. Let's eliminate it. Let's impose Social Security taxation on every single wage-earning American, because God knows we pay it. Why can't Lindsay pay it? And by pay it, what I'm talking about is the fact that we, what is it, $106,000? Something like that? And every penny you make after the first $106,000, you don't pay Social Security on? Why? Why? No means testing. No elevation of the retirement age. But let's have the rich actually pay into Social Security like the rest of us do. Out of all of their income. Is that so radical? Because it doesn't feel very radical to me to have everybody paying into the system. Oh, we have morons. We do have morons this evening. We got them coming out our ears, as a matter of fact. Our good friend Maura, over in New Jersey, she nominated Judy Miller. God, I can't say Judy Miller without thinking of God rest her soul, or dog, or flying spaghetti monster, or somebody rest her soul. Gilda Radner and the Judy Miller Show. Remember that? Brilliant. Here comes the big, ugly queen of Germany. But no, it's not funny like that. Judy Miller, disgraced phony journalist, the woman who, without criticism or examination or anything resembling journalism, took every filthy lie that the Bush administration wanted to put out about their reason for attacking a sovereign nation that had done nothing to us, i.e. Iraq, showed up on, where else, Radio Rwanda, where Judy Miller, well, she wanted to...
I was wondering about that. I figured it wasn't me, so...
No, they were accusing you of snoring in the chat room, Cossack.
Oh, well.
But you know how they are there.
That's me. Well, I'm loud enough, so I'm sure they would have heard me had I snored. One of the disadvantages of staying in the same room with me tend to keep people up. Yeah, I have been awoken at least once where I was in the process of being dumped over a balcony railing because I wouldn't shut up and I wouldn't wake up, so
oof.
That finally got my attention. It took a while.
You would hope.
But, yeah, the interesting thing is, why do we have a cap at, what is it, 106 some odd thousand for Social Security deductions.
Why?
Yeah, why does that cap even exist?
I guess. Well, see, and there I'm admitting I don't know. But I've always been told that it was capped there so that the rich wouldn't feel like they were paying more than was their fair share. Because otherwise we'd have to tie it to their income, and then they'd be getting great big Social Security checks.
Well, screw them. They can do like everyone else. Everybody up to that point has to pay 100% on their salaries.
Right.
You know.
Why shouldn't they?
Exactly.
And you know what? If they want to get all their money back, all they have to do is live to 200.
Exactly. And yeah, it's kind of like the old thing about the beggar and the rich man can all live under a bridge equally. Well, that's not equality.
No, and that's it was you who used to have the Sig line of it from Bat Masterson, wasn't it?
Yeah. Still do.
What is it? I have found that the rich and poor get about the same of everything. For instance, I've noticed that the rich and the poor get the same amount of ice every year. The rich get theirs in summer, and the poor get theirs in winter.
Correct.
I always love that.
Amazing how that works, too, you know. And they don't seem to understand that. I mean, this is the thing, Bob. For these people, their Social Security really doesn't mean anything. It's not a major part of their income. They can easily do without $1,100 a month. It means nothing to them. Well, that's the whole point. It means nothing to them. Literally. To people at this end of the income scale, that's about all that stands between them and penury.
Exactly.
And that's what these people don't seem to understand. It's not a minor thing. It's quite major to those people living on it. You know, for many of us, that's all we got. And it's not as though...
Right, it's like what I said about the goober from the American Enterprise Institute on C-SPAN that David in Tennessee mentioned. You know, he said, I know you're worried about it, but a free enterprise system solves all these sorts of problems. As I noted, he just didn't mention that one of the solutions is to have the people who are worried die.
Yeah, die quick.
Just like Alan Grayson said.
Exactly. That's their solution. Your solution is die quick. Well, gee, thank you very much. I appreciate that tip. You know, just how inhuman do we intend to make society? I mean, do we really, really, really want to, you know, invite a repeat of the Bastille incident? Is that what it's going to take? Do they really want...
I don't even think they're afraid of that, Cossack.
They better be. They're pushing...
Well, no. I'm not trying to be disagreeable, but I've been asking this question. At what point in time do the American people get off their rear ends and start marching? And assuming they start marching, what direction are they going to march in? Because remember, they've been told that the president is a socialist.
Well, not only that, they've been inculcated with the idea labor bad, union bad, you know, liberalism bad. Anything that improves a lot of the middle class is bad. Well, no, it's not. You know, folks, I hate to tell you, but you're wrong. It's not all bad. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that Reagan had started breaking unions when he was president, St. Ronnie the Roach. I mean, these people do not understand. They don't understand basic economics, much less advanced economics. They certainly don't understand what, quote, conservatism is doing to the economy.
But see, there are people, I remember, it was a couple of years ago when, who was the arms inspector, Scott?
Ritter.
Ritter. Talked at a lecture series down in South Charleston, the Seneca 2 lecture series. I covered it and broadcasted it. And he said, he was asked straight up, do you believe that we are living under fascism? Of course, Bush was still in office. And he said, if you'd asked me that a few years ago, I would have said, without a doubt, no, because my very nature, my spirit, whatever, militates against that idea. But he said, if I sit here and I tick off all the reasons for it, I can't come to any conclusion but yes. And if anybody has any doubts about the fact that fascism has this country in an absolute, just taloned grip, all they have to do is raise their heads up above, above sea level, so to speak, and start making noises about being unhappy and see how long it takes them to go away.
Exactly.
Because don't think for a minute that the police forces of this country, that the special police unit of the FBI, that I never knew we had until I saw them on Bridge Day.
Oh, yeah.
And various and sundry hired Blackwater operatives won't come out of the woodwork and start gunning people down.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, martyrdom is great if you're into religion. If you're not, no, it's just another dead guy.
Yeah. Martyrdom is no fun. Rereading Stranger in a Strange Land, I come to that conclusion yet again.
And it's really counterproductive.
In most cases. You ain't coming back.
Right. You're done. Pie in the sky when you die. And yet, there's never any sign of the pie.
Exactly. Well, while you're here, you get it in the great by and by.
Right, right.
That's kind of useless.
In the sweet by and by. Live on hay, day by day, there will be pie in the sky when you die.
Yep.
Joe Hill knew of which he wrote.
And that's what the media has been filling the populace with. You know, everything is fine, everything is getting better. Bob, it can't get better. We cannot continue this way. I don't know why people blind themselves. First of all, does everybody want a brand new Hummer?
Everybody wants to think that someday they can have one if they decide they want one.
But do they need it? Do they have a use for it?
No, there's no use for half of the off-road vehicles that are out there right now. Now, I mean, where I live, it comes in handy to have four-wheel drive once in a while when you want to get a kid to the doctor or something, and there's a foot of snow on the road.
Yeah.
But that also, again, goes back to having something to do with the fact that we can't salt and plow roads the way we used to. Because the money's not there. Because they got it.
And as you said, they want it all.
Bingo.
All of it. Every last bit.
By the way, I have some good news for you, because I know this matters to you.
Ah.
This is kind of a heavy hitter. You know the ongoing struggle to preserve the Blair Mountain battle site here in West Virginia.
Yes.
Blair Mountain being one of the seminal moments in the struggle for labor rights. It's being mountaintop removed even as we speak.
Oh shit.
Oh yeah, parts of it already. Yeah, it's been done. But our friend. Harvard Ayers, professor emeritus of anthropology and archaeology at Appalachian State University, has led the fight on about this, and in fact, he's been on the program.
Right.
And he's party to a lawsuit suing the National Park Service for having delisted Blair Mountain Battlefield from the National Register of Historic Places.
And why did they delist it?
Because Joe Manchin wanted it delisted. Because the coal companies wanted it delisted. The coal companies want to blow up Blair Mountain as quickly as possible because they want to erase that piece of our history. They want to send it down the memory hole.
Well, they want to cover their tracks, too.
Yeah, sure. And yeah. So when it got listed on the National Register of Historic Places, Joe Manchin threw a hissy, and they went out and came up with a list of objectors, because if there are objections by property owners, it can't be put on the list. And so they came up with this list of objectors, six of whom were dead. Dead when they signed the objections. Not kidding. But now the National Trust for Historic Preservation has joined in the lawsuit.
Oh, thank God for that.
And you'd think that they might have a little bit of resources to add to the struggle.
Yeah. Jeez.
And in fact, the National Trust lists Blair Mountain on its list of America's 11 most endangered historic places.
All right. At least that may slow things down a little bit.
We're hoping. And there may be some big doings later in the year with regard to Blair Mountain too. That's just something I'm hearing.
And you've heard about the. They've had several archaeological digs around Blair Mountain where they turned up just incredible numbers of shells.
Yeah, well, Harvard was part of that.
Yeah.
Shells, breastworks, the belt plates, you know, the kind of stuff that shows up at like a Civil War battlefield site, because that's what it was. It was a Civil War in miniature.
Yeah. And, you know, they're finding out from the number of empty shells and everything how intense the fighting was. And it was quite intense. It was not just popping off a couple of shots here over a couple of days.
Right. But you see, the coal companies and the primary coal companies involved with this are Massey and Arch, of course, two of the biggest sleazebag coal operations in the world. And lo and behold, after the nomination for the National Register of Historic Places was announced, there were land transactions done in order to create that list of objectors, in addition to the dead people.
Why does it always work out that way?
Well, it all goes back to that ice in summer and winter thing, doesn't it, Cossack?
Unfortunately. And the thing is, I mean, how short-sighted can you be? The economy of the United States is 70% based on consumer spending. That is based on the idea that you actually have a middle class with money to spend. Without that, the rich cease getting richer. Don't they understand how this works?
No, really, I don't think they do. They're that short-sighted, Cossack.
And so as they dance on the deck of the old Titanic, they don't understand why they're dancing.
Right, or where that water's coming from.
Yeah, and they don't seem
to. But like I said, talking to Juanita, when the water gets around their ankles, they'll be the first ones hollering, "Lord, Lord."
Exactly. Save me, save me. But you jumped in on your own.
Yeah. Cossack, got a roll, brother, but good hearing from you.
All right, Bob, you take care.
You too, brother. Later now.
Later.
The Cossack calling from North Florida to wrap up the program for this Moran Monday edition of The Horn, about 3.5 minutes before the hour. And we will leave now and be back same place, same time tomorrow evening, if that's okay by you. Hope it is. Going to do it anyway. Thanks to everybody who continues to support the program. It is much appreciated and much needed. Thank you to all of you for your ideas, your emails, your participation in every way in which you participate, because that's what makes all of this so very special. That's what makes Conversation Radio, Conversation Radio. Thanks to our chat room moderator, Lottie. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer, webmaster, web designer, and master of all trades. Thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Going on its ninth year. Ninth year of literally making liberal progressive radio a viable possibility on the internet. Thanks to our bloggers, our blogger, Texas Betsy, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to my head writer, David in Tennessee, to our op-ed columnist, Reverbo, Cavalcade of Crazy, head on RadioNetwork.com. There is a brilliant piece of video up at OsborneInc.com, Winter Soldier. It's about 29 minutes long. You want to watch this. Matt covered the peace protest, the anti-war protest, in the snow in D.C. a couple of weeks ago. And he has done a masterful job of pulling it into a 30-minute documentary, OsborneInc.com. Thanks continue to go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. When you hear about things like the struggle to preserve Blair Mountain, you know that folks at Coal River Mountain Watch are contributing their effort, their time, their energy to that struggle. That's why I call them the hardest-working, bravest people I know. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.